from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitin.
Good morning. It is the 11 o'clock hour of the G and Ursula Show, and woo, did those 2 hours fly by. Good morning to you, Ursula.
Good morning, G. Yeah. Happy Thursday, everybody. You know what we're going to be talking about after Heather's newscast at 11:30?
What's that?
Tipping culture. It's a big, big topic. And has it gone too far?
If you are a server, no, I take that back. I think that if you're a server and you're someone whose income is predicated on tips, I think you're going to like what I have to say about this topic.
But my question is, there are certain professions and certain things that, yes, you know, if someone is serving me food or...
Why? Why do we have those tipping cultures in those areas?
Well, but here's my question. Should we now, when you go buy a pair of jeans, should I pay someone for showing me a pair of jeans?
No.
But that's what's happening.
Shouldn't. It's gone too far.
And
going to Subway, you get your sandwich.
And you pick it up and you do all the work. And then they flip that tablet around and say 20%, 25%, 30%.
I tell you
like,
what.
Wait a minute.
In Vegas, they ask you to tip everywhere. No matter what.
Right.
You always pose a handshake. You handshake with them. Hey, yeah. Thank you. Boom.
Okay,
thank
so
you.
We want to hear from you, though. 888-973-5476, 888-973-CHIRO. We will share some of your stories, and we'll talk about whether it has gone too far.
Agree to disagree. Brought to you by Guarding Roofing and Gutters.
One of these days, we just got to take off the gloves. Just really go at it.
Should you be able to write a nice, lovely love letter to the homeowner of the home that is the object of your heart's desire? Keep in mind, this is satire. I'm going to read this real quick. Dear Ursula and Mark, I'm a disabled veteran. My wife is a school teacher in a low-income school, and we have 3 children, Sam, Tina, and Tiny Tim. We're desperate to purchase a home near Children's Hospital, where Tiny Tim requires monthly treatments for childhood leukemia. We've been homeless for nearly 3 years, and by the grace of God, came into some money through an inheritance from a distant uncle, whose dying wish was to see my family purchase a home in a safe neighborhood where Tiny Tim would be able to continue his treatments and near a dog park where our 2 puppies, Scooter and Libby, who were rescued from Hurricane Katrina, would be able to frolic and play. I know our all-cash offer, we do not have all cash. Our offer will never be able to reach the level that others are bidding, but we desperately plead upon your good graces to grant us the ability to purchase your home. Well, it was the law in Oregon until just about last week that you were not allowed to write those letters. The law was written under the intent that it would sway homeowners favorably to home. It would sway the home buyer. Excuse me, I'm sorry. It would sway the homeowner to sell their home to people who did not deserve it, basically. However, a judge has ruled, no, that law, not constitutional. You can write whatever sob story you want to the homeowner.
Good.
Good?
And I say more power to you. And if you can write something like that, that's compelling. That was pretty good, Chef.
It was also completely a lie.
I know that was. But you can also smell a lie. I mean, I can. You know,
not from good liars. No,
well, that's true.
I'm not saying
Wisconsin.
I got caught there.
Oh goodness. I absolutely think that you should be able to write, and you know what, you will get a feel for someone if it appeals to you, or if it makes sense, or if it, you know, it helps make a difference between, you know, 18 different buyers. Sure. So I'm in agreement with, I'm supportive of it. The reality, though, is right now, given what the housing market is doing, especially here locally, your letter's probably not going to help. But it's worth the try.
So the last time we discussed this, I was totally against it.
Yes, and I was in favor of it.
You guys
yes.
remember? I
yes.
was totally against it.
Mm-hmm.
Changed my mind. I changed my mind because, let's be real, I'm totally against the letters, but at the same time, what would I do? If it's illegal and there's a house that I love, I'm going to do what I do best. Come and knock on your door. Why? Because I have experience doing door-to-door sales.
Yeah.
So I'm going to come up to you and I'm going to go ahead and let you know, hey, how are you? Introduce myself. Hey, we're the ones. I love this house. I drove by it. These are some of the reasons why I loved it.
Yes.
I know there's a whole lot of offers. I don't have all that big cash, but I just want to tell you, when you're thinking about deciding who to sell to, I hope that you decide to use me. We do the same thing with resumes.
Exactly.
We try to get jobs. How about you have a cover letter? How about you say some of these things? So I changed my mind on this. If you could write a letter, write the letter. Because I guarantee you, you're better off having a letter than you probably ain't going to have $100,000 or $500,000 over asking price. So I switched my stance. I'm cool with the letter right now.
Yeah, if you are competing with someone who has an escalator clause that's always going to beat yours.
Right?
I mean, why not at least try something? Because for some people, it really is about some owners. And I've seen this on the listing shows on Bravo Channel.
Unsellable home.
Yeah, or unsellable homes or million-dollar listings. That's what it is. Where there are some people who own a home who are much more interested in what you're going to do with it in the future. I want you to preserve the character of this particular home. It has history. It has, you know, XYZ that meant something to me. If you're not going to tear it down, I'll sell it to you even if it means $50,000 less. I mean, some people are in the position to do that. Not many, but exactly whatever can help you get that advantage, and especially in a tight market, I say good for you.
See, I was actually going to disagree with you for a second because I agree. You should be able to write the letters. That's not a big deal. But I would say that there are more people out there who really care about who gets their home than there aren't. There aren't a lot of people who have the financial flexibility to do that. But I mean, come on, like a $10,000 difference in the final sale of your home, when your home's selling for $1.5 million, $2 million, and you know that it's going to a good family,
yes,
maybe someone that's been struggling, whatever
yes.
the reason may be, the one that's not going to, you know, tear down the apple trees that your grandpa planted in the yard,
yes,
I think that makes a huge difference.
How about to the family that you choose? I don't like when you say the good family. How about the family that you choose?
Well, actually,
you gotta be careful on that good family. Well, what's a good family?
Well,
gee, well, let me challenge you on that.
All
right. Do you not think that you knocking on the front door as a black man, you walk up to that front door and you say, "Hey, you know what? I live in the area. I'd love to buy a home. Like, I'm the first kid in my family to go to college, and I just got a job here, just got married, and we're looking for a place to live, and we can't find anything anywhere." You telling me there aren't some bleeding heart liberals in Seattle who'd be like, "I'm aware of redlining. I'm aware of that history. You know what? I'm going to give it to you." I think there are people that are absolutely influenced by a good family. It's just, hey, whoever's definition of that is completely different.
Joey just texted in. My agent said, "Don't write love letters. They get 30 offers. They all sound the same. Money talks." Okay. I want to say one more thing. If it's between the good family and an investor, 100% I'm going with the family, even if it's a chunk of change lower.
Oh, whoa, 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 wait a minute,
point.
Chef. Don't leave.
Yeah.
Okay. Good family, investor. Investor has $100,000. You mean to tell me, Ursula, you would take $100,000 less to go with the, quote, good family?
$100,000 might be hard, but if we're talking $50,000, I would.
Okay, even $50,000.
Yeah, I would.
What?
100%.
Wow.
Yes.
You would take $50,000.
Wow. I don't know if my husband would, but I would.
To sell your home to a family instead of a hedge fund?
Long-lived
yes.
market.
I absolutely would.
Long-lived market ain't going for that.
50 grand.
50 grand,
yes,
Ursula.
Absolutely.
Why would you not just take the extra $50,000 and donate that to a good cause where it could do a lot more good than the one family who's going to end up with a house somewhere, just not
because
yours?
Because I am not in favor of investors taking, hedge fund investors taking over.
That is unfathomable to me.
I know, but I'm telling you, that's how crazy the market is right now.
All right, let's move on here. So I want to talk about a workplace identity crisis. So there's this new survey of about 5,000 different workers across the country. When it comes to how they present themselves at work, apparently 3 in 5 of us are hiding something from our employer, whether it be our politics, our sexual identity, our relationship status. Apparently a lot of folks hide that. And 7 in 10 people say they adopt an entirely different personality when they are at work. Gee, Scott, shouldn't you just be yourself at work? Why'd I come to you on that?
Wait, did you say 7 out of 10?
7 out of 10, yeah.
So let me say this. And I just told this to our boss just yesterday. It's interesting. I am just now at the point of my life, stage in my career, just in general, that I'm me. What you guys hear on the radio, that's me at home. That's me at your mom and them house, daddy house, no matter, auctioneering, doesn't matter. I talk how I want to talk, you know what I mean? Like, I can't believe he talks that way. I talk how I want to talk. It's tough to get to this point, though. And what I'm saying is there's a lot of us, including myself, at one point in time, wanted to, if you will, button up and show you the serious side or the professional side of me so that you can be more favorable in the workplace. And so it takes a lot to get to that level. Some people might not ever get to it because some people aren't even allowed to really be themselves at work. And it kind of sucks a little bit, to be honest with you.
And I think that there are work environments that would be more conducive to allow you to be yourself. And then there are others where you hear how people think. And then are you going to really want to share that you are, you know, whether it's part of the LGBTQ community or whatever it is, yeah, depending on what your environment is. So I can see where some people would feel like they can't. And that is a shame. And that's wrong. Right. But I could see where people would want to conform. Because, you know, they look and see who's getting advancements, who's
yeah,
doing well.
Right.
So I'm going to try to be like that if I'm going to be able to move up. I mean, that's really sad, though. 7 out of 10.
Like, I don't think I could ever be a boss here. You know what I mean? Like, there's no way I could be a boss. I'd have to
I've been there and done that. And
I'd have
I
to do what bosses do, right? Oh, well, sorry. That doesn't meet the threshold, you know what I mean, of common things. So there's no way I could be a boss here.
I don't know. I think this is kind of this is both a good news, bad news kind of situation because a lot of people do adopt different elements of like you're forced to in your workplace. You're forced to be more outgoing, more friendly. Anyone who has worked in customer service, 100% of people in customer service adopt a different personality. It is a different culture. It's a different environment. And I don't necessarily think that there's anything wrong with that. You have to wear many different hats in life. You're a different person with your kids than you are with your spouse generally. You're different around your friends. You are different at work. That does not necessarily mean that you are being constricted. It is that in different environments, you play different roles for different people.
Okay, so how are you different here at work?
Are you different here at work?
Let's see. Yeah, you know what? Here's a perfect example, G. Mm. What happens in our post-show meeting? Is it, you know, when we were working remote, I'd call you guys up right after the show, and we'd hash out, hey, you know, what went well, what didn't. And immediately in that post-show meeting, on air, we're like, hey, good morning, it's the G and Ursula Show, post-show meeting. Whew. Hey, guys, that was a good one. That was good. I mean, your energy level changes, your language changes, how you talk about things changes, you moderate your opinions when you're not in your own environment generally. I mean, radio's a little bit different in that regard. Sometimes you amp them up on the radio.
Well, we still, even though, again, I've gotten to the level in my career where I have the ability to still do my job while still channeling me at the same time. So if there is a topic, like, let's be real, this topic about abortion, this has been the most unfun topic to talk about. Why? Because I don't think men know anything about this topic, and I don't think men should be deciding about women's bodies. At the same time, I also didn't think that I'd ever be at a point in my career where abortion would be a topic that I would talk about. As a matter of fact, I even made it a good point in my career to be like, mm-mm, I don't want to talk about that. But then I was forced to.
Yeah,
it's not fun to talk about that.
It's just so complex.
Yes.
And it really has so many different layers. And, you know, no matter what, there's going to be disagreement.
That's how my six pack is. It's got a lot of layers.
Are you sure it's a six pack, not a snack pack?
Oh.
Hey. That was one of my dad's jokes. I had to throw that in there.
Let me tell you right now. I got pictures of me with the six pack. 8-pack, as a matter of fact.
Oh, boy.
It ain't. There's no pack there now. It went down.
But you remember how you started the show talking about your back fat?
Yeah.
You've been working on that.
I've been trying to work on.
You've got to give yourself credit.
Working on my back fat.
Okay. Still ahead. We are going to be talking about tipping.
Yes.
And text us right now, because I want to share some of your stories, too. Where have you been surprised when you've been asked for a tip? We'll share some of our things, too. And then when do you think, are there professions where you think, hey, we should be tipping them and we're not right now? How about that?
All right. We'll do that next. Gene Ursula.
Thank you so much for hanging out with us on the G and Ursula Show. This is a show where we invite you all the time to interact with us. 888-973-5476. 888-973-CHIRO is our state roofing text line. And do you guys remember way back when you would get surprised when you would have a recommended tip when you'd go to a restaurant? So I saw this guy on TikTok who put together this video, and he looked back and then looked at what's happening today and then looked at the future of how tipping could work in this country. So let's take a listen to how it used to be in his mind.
And here's your check. I hope lunch was incredible.
Yeah, it was great.
Wow,
10% auto gratuity.
I've heard some places are doing that now.
Well, I guess they've got to make the money somehow.
Okay, then fast forward to today.
Have a great evening. Auto grat has gone up 20%.
What's next? They take your kidneys?
Auto gratuity. Okay, so now he's looking at 2050. Could this happen?
Time to pay.
What the heck does special auto gratuity mean?
In order to properly account for the outstanding level of service provided to you today, we'll need you to sign this.
This is the deed to my house.
Mm-hmm.
This can't be serious.
We do.
Okay, that isn't serious. But has tipping culture gone too far, Gene?
Yes. They need to stop it. Let me give you an example of the state of Missouri, right? I didn't want to bore you guys with all the different rules in different states, but in the state of Missouri, when it comes to employees that are getting tipped, so servers and everything, they are required to, their minimum wage is half of their minimum wage. Their minimum wage is $11.15 per hour. Servers make $5.75 an hour. And then if they don't make in tips to cover that 11 something dollars an hour, then they must be paid that. But other than that, that's where they are. I cannot stand the tipping world. If a server, let's just take a regular server that works at this restaurant, right? This server makes minimum wage, and then they rely on their tips. They make X amount of money in tips. And let's say that their son or daughter is maybe not feeling well, can't go to school on Thursday, Friday. Matter of fact, they're going to probably have to miss the weekend. They are going to miss those tips. I believe that if you're a server, it doesn't matter what occupation you're in. Whatever your pay is, that's your pay. They should not count on us, the people, to make up for that. So if you go to a restaurant, the servers around there, they're all making a decent, livable wage. It should not have to be made up from we, the customers.
But the reason it is the way it is because a couple of things. One is the idea that it's just going to be passed on to the consumer if it all lands on the restaurant owner. So that's the first idea. But for many servers, I've heard from them every time we bring up the topic of tipping is, let's say you work at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse and your meal is a minimum of $200 or $300 for two people.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get great tips. And those tips are going to make you have, potentially even a six-figure income
mm-hmm.
per year, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you could, let's say. So I understand when I go to a restaurant, it is expected if it's a sit-down restaurant with service. But I always struggle, like, okay, what if it's a buffet and you're doing your all your own work and someone comes by and do you tip differently there? Or now, why is it that tipping is expected in some retail stores? I mean, say what? I mean, and although I will say that now, because, you know, I love actually going to brick and mortar and supporting businesses that way. But there are some places, like I've gone to Macy's, I cannot find anyone to help me. So I almost understand that you'd want to tip someone if they actually stop to help you. But where does it stop? And then what is considered a standard tip anymore? It used to be 15%, then it was 18%. Now is 20% considered cheap?
I want to be clear on this topic.
It is?
Restaurants? Yeah.
I want to be
20% is
for
cheap.
Servers?
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. Yes. I want to be clear on the tipping thing. Wait, those that know me, those that's been around me, know I am a very good tipper. I mean, a very good tipper. With that being said, I still can't stand the tipping culture because the expectation is on us, the customer, to fulfill the salary that's not being paid by the owner.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
I know, but I think they would argue that, okay, if you're not going to want to pay tips, then expect to pay more for your food because we're going to pay them more. And I know, and you're going to bring
up tips. I want to just say something. The number one threat to rising costs is, okay, consumer, you know what? You're going to have to pay more. Then you know what?
That is exactly what's happening.
Hold on. Let us pay more, and then guess what? If your restaurant is not going to survive, then it won't survive. You see what I'm saying? So sometimes these restaurants are like, ooh, they went up in price, and they went out of business because nobody liked your food. People have no problem paying for good food. As a matter of fact, I know I can go downtown. I can go buy a Dick's burger for this amount, or I can go to Ruth Chris and get a burger for this amount. You get, and people decide what they want to buy. This whole threat of we're going to go up in price, and if you don't make it in business, that's on you. Don't blame the customer.
Okay, I'm curious about that. Janet just sent in a text, and she says, I'm a mobile pet groomer. I own my own business. Gratuity is always appreciated, but never expected. Now, I love that. I love when people say that. And she says, I set my prices, so I don't need to depend on tips for my basic income. However, the majority of my clients are very grateful for my service. I love it when there's a tip jar and I have that choice. But the thing that stresses me out is, like, I'm just picking up food for, you know, to go, and then all of a sudden, or I'm getting a drink, and then the thing flips over, and it's 20, 25, or 30%. Am I really expected to tip on that?
I'm sure my friend at Subway is probably listening, and so I know she's saying, but gee, you tip. Yep, I tip you all the time because I love you. That's why. But at the same time, because that's where I go and frequent all the time. I go to that Subway.
And Chef, you're the one who's worked in the service industry.
Yeah, well, Ursula, you definitely are supposed to tip. It's social shaming, right? Because if you actually click the option that says no tip, there's this big red light that starts flashing.
Attention all customers. This man is a cheapskate. He has elected not to
See?
Tip the service staff.
Shame. Shame.
And then everybody knows.
Shame.
You're the cheapskate.
Now, yes, that is a very big stress.
Now, takeout. Well, I want to be clear on something because I know some of you guys do a lot of takeout. And I want to be crystal clear. Yes, you give a tip on takeout. So if you go in, you've ordered your stuff online and you go and pick it up. Yes, yes, yes. You give the tip because those folks spent the time bagging up your things and all that. Yes, you give a tip. You don't have to necessarily go 20%. You can, you know what I'm saying? You can go 10%.
Well, I always
do 10,
a couple
15%.
Dollars and I put it in the jar.
That's fine. That's
yeah,
fine.
But I even feel guilty because that tablet turns around. I'm like, everyone's looking now, and I look really cheap. And now I'm today years old finding out that 20% is considered cheap. Seriously?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I need to stop going out.
I'd argue against the servers and the bartenders on this one because, unlike in most of the country, you make $15 an hour or more, you shouldn't have to tip 25%.
I think it's so funny when other people ask the server to show them how to not tip. Can you show me what button to press so I can give you $0?
Oh, no. I got to tell you about one thing that did happen just recently.
Huh.
Someone said, we only take cash tips. And then I gave a cash, and someone actually said, is that it? And it was close to 20%.
Wow.
I'm like, okay, don't demand. And I was mad.
And here's another secret. For you guys going into bars or something like that, give that bartender a nice cash tip right in the beginning. Because then, if you're chef and they can't really see you or something, they know when you come get that drink, they are ready. They're like, oh, hey, I got you. I got you. Give the bartender that nice cash tip up front. Trust me.
Can I just sit on your shoulders next time?
Your text, your feedback, and Ursula's words to live by. This is G and Ursula. You mean to tell me, out of all the topics that we talked about today, it is the tipping culture that is the discussion. Our text line blew up.
Money talks, man.
I'm still going through them. And we hear you. And some 360 says, you guys talk like everyone in the world can afford to tip. It's true. There are people who cannot afford to tip. Social Security is my only source of income. I don't tip. Odds are the server makes twice the income that I do.
I said early on, I don't like the tip culture. But I am guilty of extremely supporting it. And then, Chef, what'd you say about me, man?
Well, I said that you fully support tipping culture when you can get hooked up for your tip, i.e. in Vegas or at the club, etc. But you don't support it when it is socially implied.
Someone even said, what about the teriyaki spot down the street?
Come on.
And you said, why? Because you're going to get extra scoops.
If you are going to a teriyaki spot and you're not tipping, then what are you doing? You're doing it the wrong way. You definitely tip at your teriyaki. Again, I wish Chipotle would let you tip.
Okay, for everyone who says, you know what, sometimes it is tough to tip only because, like, you're already feeling guilty about how much money you're spending. And there was a time when it was like that, but I desperately needed to get massaged because of my stress and the issues with my back. Mm-hmm. And I loved it that there was one massage therapist who had a big sign out and says, do not tip me. I do not expect a tip. Do not tip. And I know that's rare.
That is rare. G's musical instrument choice as a child. Linda and Lacey says, G, you're the only other person I know who remembers the flutophone.
Okay, and first I thought, did you say the wrong word? But no, there really is that instrument. Isn't it the recorder?
No. It's
a flutophone.
You really thought I made that up?
We had no idea what you were talking about. Both of us and I looked at each other like, is he talking about a sousaphone or a flute? What?
No.
I thought you made it up.
No, a flutophone is real. I'm not lying to y'all.
Of course not.
And I'm telling you, and I went home. To this day, I still remember trying to play stuff while my mom sat there. Bless her heart, because I know she's like, ooh, would you just stop?
We call them recorders here.
Yes.
Apparently.
Hey, flutophone back in the day.
Are you actually doing better now? 360 says, my husband and I own an electrical contracting company with 8 employees. We're doing really well. Everyone I know that's in the trades has more work than they know what to do with. See, I told you. I mean, we got a ton of people texting in saying the same thing.
So trade school is a popular place to go.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Jim in Tacoma says, honestly, I'm good financially. My wife and I make decent money. We are debt-free, own our cars, own our home, no credit card debt. We kind of had a head start because we decided to not have kids. I would take a raise to continue to build upon our retirement, but we are doing as good as is. No complaints. We're fortunate.
253 says, I opened my own construction business 3 months ago. I make about 40% more than I used to hourly. My wife got promoted, got about a 30% pay increase. More money is always better, but I'm grateful for where I'm at now.
Bob says, when Trump was in office, the tax break put about $200 more a month in my pocket. And unlike when Obama was in office, I didn't owe taxes. I actually got money back. As far as pay, I got $5 an hour pay raise while Trump was in office. Since Biden has taken over and waged war on oil companies, my fuel spending went up $150 a week.
When it comes to the Marysville School District considering requiring parental consent to join before school clubs, after they failed to block the LGBTQ clubs. Ryan says, while I'm supportive of parental consent, there are people out there that will turn out their kids that are LGBTQ+. I've mentioned before that I have kids that are LGBTQ+, and my brother said if his son were gay, he would kick him out. If being part of these groups would out a kid, then it's wrong and not meet the intention of the group, which is to offer a place of support and friendship.
Let's get to Words to Live By, brought to you by Wilcox Farms.
And we were talking about generosity, and so this is about that.
Yep.
The most truly generous people are those who give silently without hope of praise or reward. No matter what, there's going to be disagreement.
That's how my six-pack is. It's got a lot of layers.
He's handsomer than the prince.
Yes, you are, G.
Wow.
We're counting on you to make it a good day,
yeah.
As Matthew said.
Ursula, guess what tomorrow is?
Fresh Fridays.
Ooh-wee. I'm telling you, Nick, you better have something good for
me.
I'm
ready. I'm ready, buddy.
Ursula, thank you. Good show today.
Thank you. Right. The Dory Monson Show is coming up next. Stay with us.
Chef, always appreciate you for cooking up a good show. Nick, what you got today?
Hope this show has brought everyone some lessons in today. First of all, let's not go down rabbit holes of made-up stories and long-distance relationships that doesn't end in a well at all. And don't be going out writing sob stories to sweeten your deal on a house purchase either. Feel like it gives you a bad reputation in the long run. I think we all just need some more truth and honesty after this one. And G, we'll work on being comfy as your true self in the workplace. It's all good, man. People like you for you. But a nice tip is gonna help your reputation, I tell you what.
Wait, are you trying to say that people like you better if you tip them?
I mean, I think it helps, definitely, for sure.
All right. Well, tomorrow is Fresh Fridays, and Nick said he promises to have something good for us. We'll do all this again tomorrow. Have a great rest of your day. Appreciate you for listening. Love you for that, and be good.
Hope you have as much fun as we have. So long, everybody.